Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're joined by Deuce McAllister in just a few moments. We're live at Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Come on by and see us. Bobby J and I and Deuce will be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And, man, they got some great savings. Also, too, you can gear up for Monday night's game between the Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870, WWL, and also free on the Odyssey app. Some of the savings they got here today, come shop and save with wild caught 16-25 count headless Louisiana shrimp, only $5.99 a pound. Bob, it's one of those Saturdays where there's not a lot of signature games going on. The one signature game, man, is Missouri taking a whipping. And they go down to College Station in Texas, and a little bit of heat there today. And, man, they are getting their backside tanned but good by Texas A&M team that is prepared. And this is midway into the third quarter, 34-0.
Yeah. No,
Ninth-ranked Missouri.
Yeah, you have to look. They were paper tigers that being Missouri. When you consider, you know, Vanderbilt, they were fortunate to come out of that one in Boston College. But, you know, Boston College better than people thought how they, you know, where they were ranked. But, you know, the bottom line is that is the SEC. And you're playing on the road. And Missouri had a chance to get off to a great start. And they shot themselves in the foot with penalties.
Man.
And then that's the way it goes. And A&M, the quarterback's playing good, Mike. You know, he didn't – I think he had hurt his shoulder.
Connor Wegman,
yeah. And then what he did against Notre Dame, not so much. But he's been playing outstanding this game.
Yeah, and, you know, that was maybe a little bit of controversy about should he be the starter in this game because
Well, I think it's proven. Well, he's a better passer than the other guy. The other guy runs all around.
Now, he can make some plays
with his
feet.
But there's a reason why, you know, you practice and the coach went with Wegman. So that'll be interesting. But you know what I noticed this morning? This might be, Mike, the greatest college game day I've ever seen as far as participation at Cal and Berkeley.
And look what time of the day
it is.
No,
that's what I'm saying. They got there at midnight because, you know, it starts, it starts 9 Eastern, 8 Central,
yeah.
So that was 6 in the morning, and it was packed, and they were loud, the Cal fans. Now, that'll be interesting to you, University of Miami, their expectation, the ACC playing Cal. I still think
It was a showcase morning for Cameron Ward, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. I think Miami's going to take care of business, but the one thing about Cal, I could tell you, I would say LSU would make the postseason if they had Cal secondary.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I want to say, Mike, they lead the nation in interceptions.
Yeah.
And, no, they have a defense. But and their quarterback, ironically, his dad, I can't think of his name, starts with an M maybe, Mendoza, son, the quarterback for Cal, his dad played with Cristobal. I want to say in high school. So he's a Miami kid that's playing at Cal, and Miami had
didn't
no
get
interest.
Offered.
Yep, didn't get offered. So that'll be interesting. That'll be, I think, like a 9:30 kickoff tonight, Central, one of those late, you know, Saturday night games. But think how far Miami had to travel. So it's basically going like the Dolphins playing the Raiders when they were in Oakland, or the 49ers in the East Bay. That's a long road trip, and we always said that there's nothing athletic Coast Conference about Cal or Stanford, but that's the conference they're in now. And so Miami, I still think they're the front runner to win the ACC. We're going to have to let that play out. And but, Mike, that's wide open. You know who's done well? And they were, I think, had a touchdown double-digit league against Louisville, SMU. See, SMU's another ACC team. That's in Dallas. What's Atlantic Coast Conference about Dallas and SMU? But, you know, they SMU's relevant. They can score. And
yeah, look at all the talent that surrounds them, too.
Yeah, in the state
in
of Texas,
area?
Right.
Good gracious. Also, Tulane Green Wave, 30-6 with 6 minutes 48 seconds left in the second quarter. Now, you heard that right. They have a 30-6 lead over UAB with 6:46 left in the second quarter. One of the big plays in that game, Rayshon plays on, who's from West Monroe, takes a 100-yard kickoff return back for the score. Had three rushing touchdowns for the Green Waves.
So, Mike, what is the question? The question I have for you right now, because this is big. I thought you look at Tulane, you know, Kansas State. You look at the Oklahoma game. But then you look at what Tulane, they crushed South Florida. South Florida, now 2 years in a row, were hanging at with Alabama in the fourth quarter, and they didn't have any chance against Tulane.
Bob, the crazy thing with that is we did Tulane Tuesday the week before. Coach Summerall told us that 18 of their players that are starting are seniors at South Florida.
Yeah, so
you can't use they don't have experience.
Yeah.
When you got that type.
So
of
Mike, but what about this? What is the Tulane take advantage of taking the football away because in this game? Because I look, Tulane had forced 6 turnovers while committing none in his 3 wins, but they had coughed it up 4 times while creating 1 takeaway in his 2 losses. You know, do I protect the football, take it away?
They have an interception in the game.
Okay, so they plus
have an
one.
Interception in
so
it.
They plus one in their wins. That's what they've been able to do versus their losses against, like, Kansas State and Oklahoma. But you look at UAB, Mike, and the turnover margin. That's why I thought this was big, that they would probably maybe cover if they could just do that. Protect the football and take it away. University of Alabama, Birmingham, they were 127th. Out of 133 FBS teams in the turnover margin at -6. So right now they're -7. So the game's well in hand. So good for Tulane. Because this is the type of game, Mike, I want what were they? At least 2 touchdown favorite.
14.5,
yeah. So, you know, Tulane's taking care of business like they should.
And another game, too, is I know Rich Marty won't take a look at this. He won't tell us about all these highlights. Penn State, now we saw UCLA. They played a good half against LSU. And, you know, they were toe-to-toe. Right now, with, I think, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, Penn State has a 17-3 lead over UCLA.
Well, if you watch that Penn State-Illinois game the last weekend, Mike, it was 7-7 until right at the end. So I know they might, you know, I said Missouri's a paper tiger. They might be a paper Nittany Lion. I mean, you know, like who's going to live up to expectations? The bottom line is you have to win. But, you know, Penn State and, you know, the whiteout and what they do, until they beat, like, Ohio State or
they
Michigan.
They don't play Michigan.
Yeah. But, you know, like the Ohio State-Michigan thing, especially Ohio State, then the fans are always going to be restless. We beat everybody else, but we don't have that really big-time win to end up being a Big Ten champ.
They barely have a winning record after the first 5 games every year under Franklin. Now, they've been 5-0 a few times.
Right.
But after that, I think it's 18 wins, 16 losses. You know, post that the first 5 games of the season. Bob, you brought up SMU, Louisville. With 8 minutes left in the third quarter, SMU 24, Louisville 20.
Yeah, that game's been going back and forth. It's at Louisville. That's been very entertaining. You know, SMU came out the gate smoking, and in the you know, the first drive getting a touchdown. So, yeah, I think if you're going to watch a game on TV, you don't have a dog in the hunt, that would be the game that's entertaining right now. It's on ESPN. It's on the same, you know, the college game day. They went to that 11 o'clock kickoff, SMU and Louisville.
Notre Dame had them last week, and then they let Louisville come in late and made that a much closer game. Man, as you say, if you want to watch entertainment, SMU 24, Louisville 20 with 8:22 left.
Well, you know who just showed? Here we got Deuce in the house. We'll come and we'll talk to Deuce in a few minutes. Are the Ole Miss Rebels paper Rebels? I mean, when you look at that, they might put it to LSU.
Are they real?
Are they real? But, I mean, you just look at that. I know LSU don't have that Kentucky defense. I know that. I just look what Kentucky did to Georgia and then what they did to Ole Miss.
Okay, my thing
that's
is –
that's a stout defense, huh, Deuce?
What happened to Kentucky when they played South Carolina?
Well, but here's the thing. If you can't win the line of scrimmage
– you ain't winning.
It's very hard. I don't care how many skilled guys, and Ole Miss has a ton of skills, but they got beat in the line of scrimmage. And Kentucky's defensive front, I know they have one first-rounder for sure.
And a freshman.
And they may have – that's what I was about to say. They may have – Kentucky plays two – I'll go ahead and give it – two first-rounders in their front seven. And Ole Miss could not block them.
Well, Deuce, I'm
especially
glad
that big man in the middle.
I'm glad Deuce brought that up.
From
and we all think Lane Kiffin, he's real sexy. You know the offense, how they're gonna gash people, they go up tempo. Do you know Ole Miss is 1-4 in the Kiffin area when it rushed for less than 100 yards? Well, they had 29 carries, 92 yards against Kentucky. They only averaged 3.2 yards a run. Well, that's getting whooped in the trenches.
Well, you did not have time to really press the ball down the field. And the other thing, I didn't think Ole Miss adjusted well enough. They tried to explosive play, where there was some underneath work to be had.
Well, the Badoos, they ended up going 1-10 on third down.
There was underneath work to be had.
And to get them a sustained drive.
And they didn't do it. And yeah, so now –
Jackson got greedy.
So here's what happened. When your offense is normally accustomed to explosive plays and then you go out there and offensively you're not on the field but maybe, 30 seconds,
right,
and 45 seconds. Now Kentucky is running the ball. Kentucky basically won the game on a fourth down, and they were backed up. They were on their own end. They went for it on fourth down. They had the big conversion. That put them over the top. In the past, particularly when they played Georgia, that was – a play on fourth down, they punted. Against Ole Miss, they said, you know what, we're going to go for it. And they got it. But even to get to that point, Kentucky's whole philosophy, we're not playing fast. We're going to dominate the trenches. We're going to run the quarterback. We're going to try to sustain drives and keep your offense off the field. Ole Miss offense never got any rhythm.
No, never. Like you said, winning in the trenches. You know, the offensive line, now they were just, like you said, overmatched against Kentucky. Kentucky had 4 sacks and 7 tackles for a loss.
I mean, he got beat in the trenches.
Yeah.
That big man in the middle, they double-teamed him. They even put a chip on him. They still could not block
it. It didn't matter.
He blew up everything in the middle.
Well, that's why it's no excuse for Coach Kelly and LSU. Let me tell you why, what I say about no excuse. Don't let them do what they did to you last year, that being Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss Rebels. You know, Ole Miss had 706 yards and scored 55 points against the LSU Tigers. You might say, well, we're better. Okay, we'll do it. Prove it. I'm not saying you have to be on the level of Kentucky, what they've done defensively. But Mike, can we get do at least half of that? All I know is you can't be – I don't care how good your offense is playing, if that be an LSU and you explosive. You can't be in a game where it's 50-something to 40-something.
You might be.
Well, then you're not good. Then if LSU don't win, that's not good. You flip a coin.
It doesn't bode well for you.
No. I mean, you'll be in a shootout. You got to get takeaways maybe or something. But you can't be giving up those 700 yards and 55 points.
Okay. With all that we all said, what it came down to?
Oh, it's going to come down. It's going to come down to a last possession. Yeah, no doubt about that.
And think about Kentucky. They're going in to score. Dude fumbles the ball, and somebody picks it up and runs it and gets it in.
The ball never hit the ground.
How?
The ball hit the ground on a fumble for the quarterback as he's going into the end zone. The ball never hit the ground. His teammate catches it, goes into
so
the
So it better
end zone.
Be lucky than good. You know.
I'd rather be any day. Give me a little luck.
No, because people who win the Powerball and the lottery, come on, they ain't good picking numbers.
No.
The man
that wasn't their first. That wasn't their first time playing.
Deuce, you talk about would LSU maybe look a little of this? Look at time and possession. Like you were saying, Kentucky had the ball for almost 40 minutes.
I'm telling you.
So can LSU – Mike, are they –
Caden Durham.
Can they give an opportunity? Can they play Kentucky? But, the bottom line is to win the game, not to showcase what you could do offensively or entertain people, The bottom line is LSU. They want to still have a chance for the postseason. I think, come on, you got to beat Ole Miss.
Well, both of them need that game.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Both of them.
Both of them need that game. I mean, I don't think anybody – you may have one team out of the 12 – that's undefeated, particularly coming out of the SEC.
Maybe one.
But
right.
The majority, I still think the SEC will get three teams, maybe four teams
I agree with you.
Into it, and the majority of them will have one loss, maybe two losses as far as the SEC teams that will get into the 12-team playoffs.
We'll be back on WWL Live. It's our special edition of WWL, the Big 870 Sports Talk. We'll be live at Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Hey, shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Mike DeTillia along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's. Get USDA Grade A Sanderson Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts, only $1.97 a pound. Plus, save $2.02 per pound. Bob, the Saints, Monday night affair against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is very reminiscent of a year ago with the Chiefs, winning on defense. When you lose your star receiver in Rashid Rice, you lose Hollywood Brown. He didn't even make it to the starting gate. He got knocked out even before the season started. You lose Isaiah Pacheco. He'll be out an additional probably 7 weeks.
Rashid Rice, the quarterback hurts him. Man.
And so Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we'll see if he gets to play in this game. To me, okay, and he is in the winter years of his career, but they're going to try to pump the football to Travis Kelce. No matter what, he isn't what he turns 35 years old today, okay? He's not 25 or 28 or 30. He's 35 years old. It's amazing his career and what he's been able to put up. And he's got 922 receptions, which is fourth all-time for a tight end. 11,486 yards, fourth all-time for a tight end. 74 touchdowns, fifth all-time for a tight end.
Well, but he's off to a slow start,
yes, he is.
Pat Mahomes. But he did come through last game for them against the Chargers. Now, that's the bottom line is that you win the game. The Chiefs can finish, the Saints can't finish. I mean, that was 17-10. That's an old-school score. But look at Kelce. He finished with 7 catches, 89 yards. They brought back Kareem Hunt. I think he might be dealing with injury, too. But he ran 14 times, 69 yards in his first game back with the Chiefs. But even you look at Pat Mahomes, his 4 straight game, the 2-time MVP struggled. He was 19 for 29 for 245 yards. He had a touchdown pass. He had a pick. He was sacked 3 times. The offensive line has struggled to protect him. But they winning defensively. It might be an ugly win, Deuce, but they find a way to win to be 4-0.
That's all that matters.
Here's the thing when you talk about ugly. They don't go back to the scoreboard and say, oh, that was an ugly win. It's a victory. And I think
and it counts the same, Deuce, like how we crushed Dallas and how we crushed Carolina.
We don't get an extra half a point.
right.
It's just one win.
Yeah.
It's
like
one win. It's not like, a half. Like 1.5 win.
And you know what, as Saints fans, if we down, if we up 10-0, you might get all excited. That's nothing to the Chiefs.
I mean, we've been there, done that.
It seems like it happens all the time, and it ain't over till it's over.
They have a confidence about themselves, and they've been able to close games. They've been able to come back in games. And, you know, it starts with Andy Reid, but also I think it starts with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And they believe that, hey, if we get him the ball, he can make something happen. And so It's going to be a tall task, but, I mean, I tell you guys, I really like this game for the Saints.
Yeah, me too.
I really
especially like the Saints with the points.
Yeah. Well,
what is it, like 5.5?
I like the Saints winning.
Okay, I hope so. But Deuce, if you had to take one right now, you only could take one win. Damn the damn Tampa Bay game. If you could tell me we lose to the Chiefs, we beat Tampa Bay and we 3-3,
I would take that because that's a division.
Yeah. But if you can win both of them, then you got that momentum and the Who Dat Nation excited.
I think by winning Monday, it gives you some confidence.
Right.
Not to say that you don't have confidence right now, but you know who you're playing.
Yep. Right.
You know the opponent.
The measuring stick, the world champs.
Say it again.
Yeah, the measuring stick, the world champs.
The world champs, and it's the measuring stick. And so to be able to go out and play, hey, it's one thing to play good against the Eagles. It's another thing maybe to play good against Atlanta. But to play good against Kansas City, who won it all, and now I played well against them, I beat them, that gives me a little, you know, belief. Not to say that they don't believe in themselves,
right,
but that gives me a little belief. And so to be able to return home and you have two games at home, man, that would be tremendous. I mean,
but you're gonna be 4-2 with Sean Payton coming to town.
Here's the thing for me. I look at this game. Now injuries do play a part.
Yep.
For both teams. Both teams. We
know
that.
Chiefs been beat up too.
They're beat up as well.
Their offensive weapons.
But for the Saints, I don't know who's playing 100%. You know, you got questions,
right.
Limited and practice and all that. But here's the thing. Can you limit the mistakes that you are making? You don't have to make the home run hit. You don't have to make the home run play. Just make the tackle. Make the tackle. I don't have to come up with the interception. I don't have to come up with the interception. I'm making the tackle because it's 3rd and 16. I'm playing off, or I'm not putting myself in a negative position where I have to kind of guess and get in trouble. I don't have to hold a guy because I felt like I was getting beat. I know I have inside presence. I'm going to tell my guard that, hey, I'm not the first option out. I am going to chip inside or out. I'm going to chip my tackle because I'm not the first option. Tight end, I've got to get involved. The Saints have to get the tight ends involved offensively. You have to be able to take some of the pressure off of Alvin Kamara.
You know, Deuce, it's so frustrating. The first four games, you know, you break it down. It used to be easy in quarters because my math, 4 times 4 is 16. Well, now we play 17 games. So I still talk about what do you do like 4 games, then the next 4 games, next 4, even though we're playing 17. So Jeff Duncan wrote a good piece in this, and what we are elite at. I'm talking about elite top in the NFL and versus what how we close out games. So you look at this. To me, the pass defense is elite, but you look at when are you doing that? Can you get off the field at the end of the game, the last drive? But the Saints, where are they playing right now? They've allowed only one touchdown pass. This is the modern-day NFL. They've allowed only one touchdown pass, which is the NFL low, the league low, while recording 6 interceptions and making 25 pass breakups. The opposing quarterback rating is recorded is number one in the NFL. It's only 68 passer rating. Now, and that's okay. Well, who do you play? I don't know. Look at Dak Prescott, the highest-paid quarterback, Jalen Hurts. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins just threw for 500 yards against Tampa Bay. They didn't even score a touchdown against us. So that's how elite. But this is it. It only frustrates you, though, the 6 holding pass interference penalties. And they all against Paulson and Debo. All 6. And the 528 yards they've allowed after catches, which is 4th most in the league. So it's like feast or famine. But we've given up some yak. We all know what happened. They all ran into each other against the Eagles. But it's unbelievable how well the pass defense, it's like quarterbacks hate to face the Saints as far as what they've done. You don't have a high QB rating. It's not like you look Kirk Cousins smoke Tampa Bay. That ain't happening against the Saints.
He looked so comfortable against Tampa.
What?
I mean, he was able. Tampa ran man, they ran zone, and he looked just comfortable against them. And you know, they were getting the ball to different receivers. I mean, you talk about what's the tight end?
Kyle Pitts.
He caught like 7 or 8 balls. Yeah,
8. How many did he catch against the Saints?
I don't. Did he? I don't think he caught one.
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, and so the defense, I still think, even though they've done really well, and I'm not talking about the couple of plays that, you know,
to take away the football.
Yeah. I still think they can play better. And I'm not even including the other two plays or three plays that you kind of had the mistakes. I still think your defense can play better.
From a pass rush standpoint, too. I think that has to get better.
Well, I think the pass rush can get better, but, I mean, I still think, look, this team didn't tackle well the last two games.
The run defense.
They didn't tackle well the last two games. They were in position and didn't tackle well.
You know who missed tackles? Will Harris. Sometimes he's been there and he's like missed tackles.
Well, I mean.
And then the Honey Badger misses one.
Right on the corner.
He misses one.
He's not alone.
Right.
He's not alone. It's a few guys.
Okay.
I mean, but like the last two games, they hadn't tackled well. Offensively, I'm not saying that I don't have the highest expectations for you like I do for the defense, but offensively, you've left yards out on the field and you left points out on the field with pre-snap penalties.
Yep.
Alignment. I mean, there should never be an alignment issue. You're a pro. There should never be an alignment issue with anybody offensively. And so holding, man, they can call holding every play on both teams.
Right.
They can call holding on every play. But for me, now I understand when you get a look maybe we aren't familiar with. That's going to happen. That's going to happen because you can only practice so many looks.
Right.
And then make
and then
an adjustment.
You get tricked.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. But there have been too many free guys running free where your quarterback is getting hit. And I'm not just talking about a guy getting beat. I'm talking about where
it's the mental bust.
That part.
Yeah, you can't have no mental bust.
That part. I mean, because there are yards to be had for this offense where – oh man, this player get beat, or we didn't pick up this call, or we missed the guy, and now we're a run that ends up being a 2 yard or 3 yard gain. It should have been 1-on-1 with the safety or out the gate completely. And so they can execute at a higher level offensively, and it's probably
Deuce, when you say somebody got to help Alvin, I don't care.
Well, no, somebody, come on, 100%.
Yeah.
Somebody has to help. You've got to be able to alleviate some of the pressure off of Alvin.
We need Alvin because December. Come on,
you can't continue to get him 29 and 27 or 24.
He's getting beat up.
It's going to be tough.
Yep.
I mean, the Jamal Williams, that's why I asked Coach Allen, and I know he might have thought, hey, Bear, that's a jerk question. Why you ask me that? I go, all I know is Jamal Williams had
– is he on the team?
Three carries in two games. Why is he on the team?
He obviously deserves, but you've got to get him involved. And, you know, I'll be intrigued to see if they can get Kendre Miller involved. And, you know, his 21-day window opened. And, you know, if you can get him 7 to 8 touches, I think that'll help, you know, take some of the pressure off of Alvin.
You told me Wednesday it'll be sooner than later with Kendra.
No, I do believe that. I mean,
it'll be sooner than later.
I'm not in the in-depth meetings that they have, but they know that they have to be able to get him involved.
Well, if he's not sooner than later, we need to get rid of his ass.
Right.
I mean, come on. You have to contribute. Look where we drafted him. We count on you.
Bobby, I don't care where you draft. I mean, at this point, it's about can you contribute.
Can you contribute?
Exactly.
You know, and you know how the Saints fans, who that nation we got spoiled? If you look at, like, think about, you know, on a roller coaster, Deuce, and this is part being a Saints fan and who that nation, you know, peaks and valleys, you're on a roller coaster. You look at the Saints, their first two games, obviously both wins. They average 405.5 yards per game, 45.5 points. They're number one. It's like, what? And then in the last two outings, both losses, obviously they average 292.5 yards a game and 18 points. So you look at scoring. Now, if you look at chunk plays, we all love chunk plays. Everybody would say, oh, throw the ball all around. Now, I think we were fortunate that would be a max when we did the first two games, but I think that's not the norm the way we structured.
No.
Because you look, four plays of 39 or more yards in the first two games, you know the Saints didn't have a play longer than 29 yards against the Eagles or the Falcons. And we had four over there. Because that's why we got spoiled, dudes, the first two games.
But what do you think those safeties were going to do? They were not going to let anything over the top.
Yeah, the game plan, like Vic Fangio, ain't his first rodeo. The Eagles, with their game planning, even Atlanta, don't let them get you behind you. You know, whether you're doing one safety deep or two safeties deep, don't let it. The Saints have those big chunk plays with Rashid Shaheed especially.
We'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. We also want to thank Ms. Jennifer from Rouse's Bakery, who made the number 3 cookie cake for Bobby Hebert. So, Bob, if you don't eat it, I know Luke will take it home.
No, I'm keeping that. I mean,
you ain't gonna keep it too long.
No, I don't know.
I know where it's going.
Well, to take a picture, this is like a good, almost like birthday type cake, even though it's a cookie for number 3. So, I can find good use for that.
Thank you, Ms. Jennifer. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with more special edition of WWL Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets, 717 Clearview Parkway. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save at Rouse's. Get 2 boxes of Kellogg's cereal for only $5. Save $4.58.
Mike, I got a question for you. Did you see the gentleman outside cooking?
I smelled it before I saw him.
You me as well.
And I think smelled it.
I don't know what size.
Before.
I don't know what size steaks he's got out there. But brother, he is doing his thing out there. It's steak and potato out there that he's putting together. And I don't know what size they are, but whatever size they are, it smells good. Before you can get out the car, you know he's there.
Yeah, well, I opened up that truck door and I sniffed it, and I wasn't that close either. I had to park kind of way back, but I did sniff it.
Well, he had his LSU shirt on, and he goes, "Oh, we're going to beat Kansas City." And I said, "I hope so," but I said, "I hope we beat Tampa Bay. I want to be greedy and win the next two, but I said we got to beat Tampa Bay." And like Deuce said earlier, just from a confidence standpoint, if you can beat the world champs, then going into that Tampa Bay game, and then we all know now I'm looking way ahead. Think about this, what's coming right after Sean Payton and the Broncos. Whoo! Dudes, I know they want to win that game, the organization.
And so does Sean.
Oh, yeah, exactly. but that's what makes this game so great.
A lot of water to get up under the bridge. A lot of water to go. But, you got to get there first.
But speaking of the Broncos, what they doing defensively? Well, look at the Tampa Bay game.
I mean, the defense has always been good.
It
was offense. Can you produce any points? That was the thing for the Broncos.
Yeah, you look at Bo Nix. He didn't even throw for 100 yards.
It doesn't matter. I mean, he's a runner, and he can get the ball, you know, third down, critical opportunities. They're converting and getting points.
It's kind of like Justin Fields. Now, he had a good game last game as far as, I think, all around with the Steelers and how they structured. I tell you what.
The Cowboys. No DeMarcus Lawrence. Micah Parsons.
Against the Steelers?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. And you most teams with really good defense, they just tell the offense or the quarterback, don't lose it for us.
Yeah. Don't give us a short field.
Don't lose it for us. We will keep you in the game.
Right.
But don't lose it for us. And you lose it for it, pick six, short fields, putting us out there where you're out there 35, 40 minutes a game. Any good defense, they're going to wear down.
Right. Deuce, you and I talked about this. I'll ask you again, because on defense for the Chiefs, and now you got offensive line issues for the Saints, now you play the most dominant defensive lineman in pro football in Chris Jones. Kind of go through his prep career. We all saw him at Mississippi State and what he's done in the NFL, but he was not this 5-star guy off the bat.
Nope. Chris Jones didn't really prep at any colleges. I mean, as far as camps, Chris didn't go to any camps going into his senior.
Was he just country boy?
He's from Houston, Mississippi, which is probably closer to Oxford than it really is.
Yeah.
It's probably almost
Starkville.
I think it's a little bit closer.
Yeah, and so he was one that was truly under the radars. He had some coaches that went in, and they kind of made a deal with some of his high school coaches to like, hey, who's that big old kid over there?
Right.
And so, that's Chris. You know, he's got a chance to be, you know, pretty good. Did he really lift, you know, 325 or whatever it was? He did it like 5 times, and it was easy. So he was always a young man that was under the radar.
Sounds like jumping. So.
Because he didn't get the exposure. And we're still talking about – we're not talking about 40 years ago where there was no cell phones.
Right. There's modern day age. There ain't nobody under the radar.
He had all of that. And so it was literally the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game. And, I mean, because it was like – wait, who is this kid? You know, where did he play at? Oh, he's a Houston Hilltopper. And so he goes out and dominates that, and it's like, this kid is four-star, potential five-star. Played in one more bowl. He goes and dominates in practice. Man, this kid's a five-star. Where's he going? He's going to go Mississippi State. He and Hugh Freeze really hit it off. Freeze was
– was at Ole Miss at the time, right?
Yeah, at Ole Miss. Hugh was almost able to close the deal, and I say almost because at that time there was no NIL.
Right.
NIL came into play.
After.
Yeah. After.
Yeah.
No, I mean like after – before you signed.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you.
And so he is – Chris has not changed one bit.
So why did he choose Mississippi State? Because they were the first to pay attention to him?
No, because NIL came
because.
To play.
Come on.
Come on, Bobby.
I'll go write it for you.
No. So before NIL.
Before NIL, NIL came into play. But, I mean, he has not changed one bit. And I was telling Mike Haas, we were talking about Chris will line up at nose.
Yep.
He will line up at three technique.
Well, he's the new Aaron Donald.
He will line up at left defensive end, and he will line up at right defensive end. He is hunting a mismatch. And they do a really good job. Steve Spagnuolo does a really good job of being able to create the one-on-ones for him. But he will move from every defensive line position. And I was telling him, now you will get plays where it looks like, is 95 even on the field? Because he'll chill. And he'll relax.
He'll set you up.
No. He's taking
the day off, so to speak.
That's what I mean. Setting you up like an
No. He's not setting you up. He's just out there. He's relaxing or setting you up to say, oh, next play I'm gonna go hard. I'm not doing anything this play.
No, the reason why I say that setting you up because T-Bob told me one time when it gets Nick Farley. Remember Farley?
Mobile.
And T-Bob says, man, I mean, some plays, I'm like whipping them. And I'm going against him, and it seems like he's just kind of going through the motions. That all of a sudden it was like a 3rd-and-1, and he knew he had to make a play. And T-Bob told me that was like not even the same guy I've been blocking.
who is this guy?
Yeah, and all of a sudden he just like turned it on like that.
I don't know if Chris is actually doing it in that manner.
Right, right.
But I mean, there will be plays where it's like, man, why?
Kind of going through the motions.
100% going through the motion. There may be a quarter that he goes through the motion. There may be a game. Now, I'm not saying that because he's that talented.
Well, he's that talented.
He gets to where he will turn it completely off.
Well, if you look at the Super Bowl, everybody looks at this.
Those two plays
on Brock Purdy is the reason why they won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
How he influenced the throw with Brock Purdy, or the 49ers are going to win that game.
The guy's open in the end zone, but you can't get it there.
Here's the thing that you look at. You go and look at Chris, all right, well, I can't get a new contract. How close am I to sack numbers? And so it's almost like that's when he knows, well, I need 10 sacks. Let me go out here and get 2 sacks
this game. I got to make a play.
Let me go out here and get 2 sacks this game. Or I'm in year 3 and my contract is up next year. Oh, I'm playing every game so I can get paid again.
He knows how to use the volume button.
Well, to show you what
completely
to show you what he means to that Chiefs defense, which has been dominant.
Take him off the field.
The first game last year, he's sitting in a suite when they played Detroit and the Lions beat him. I think he was there for game 2.
He was with his agent too, and it cost him some money, a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, you know, the one guy though. Who still, I don't know what kind of advice he's getting, Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
Who had double-digit sacks with the Eagles, not with the Jets.
He's kind of
out of sight, out of mind.
Well, he'll come, I think it's week 10.
Yeah.
He has to show up. So he'd get his accrued year.
Yeah.
So he'll come by week 10. But I think he's giving up, like, what, $700,000 a week?
No way. Yeah, no way I'm doing that.
Yeah,
we'll be back on WWL Live from Rouse's Markets.
Dude, I sat out a whole year just trying to get a million.
I bet you it wasn't $700,000 a week.
No.
We'd have had to get smelling salts to revive it.
A whole year. a million. I was just trying to get a million. That's what I'm saying. Not a week. Come on.
We're live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk. Finishing off here in our number one on our special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Market, 717 Clearview Parkway. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. Come shop and save right here at Rouse's. Monday Night Football, you get all your shopping needs done right here at Rouse's. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.